Up and see another beautiful day.
Amen.
We're going to start off by reading from the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. The book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starting at verse number 11. Again, the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starts, and we'll be starting at verse number 10. My apologies. Before we get into this this particular text, I want to talk about kind of a theme that I've been just kind of reiterating to myself all this past week, is keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Keep fighting. You know, there have been times this week where it's like, why? Mm-hmm. But I would just be like, Thomas, just keep fighting. Keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. And I've just kind of been telling myself that repetitively all this past week. Most of you are aware I was talking about that tire that I, that flat tire that I got. You know, I was in my office doing some work. I was like, I'm the only one here. You know, there were just some things that, you know, happened that I didn't choose to happen. You know, well, let me just, I'll quickly go through. So I've got an electric car. It requires me to charge at work, and I couldn't get the chargers to work. So I had to go to another charger, which required me to stay there and be non-productive, right? Instead of it charging while I was working, I had to take time out of, you know, the travel time home. So I wound up getting home late, which meant that by the time I got home, I was eating dinner, I was talking to my wife, I had, you know, study for school, and then turn around, try to get myself squared away to have enough time to sleep, to have enough energy to wake up at 5 a.m. to get back out there on the road. I'm not complaining, by the way. This is a choice that I freely made.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I was having trouble with the chargers, and I looked at my app and I realized, well, the reason why I'm having trouble with the charges is because I haven't reloaded my account.
Mm.
I only had 63 cents in there. And I was like, Thomas, it's Thursday and you're finally figuring this out.
Mm.
But I was like, okay, just keep fighting. Keep fighting. And then I had the flat tire. I was driving. Probably got about 10, 15 minutes outside of Lemoore, and I got the flat tire sign.
Mm.
So I was like, oh my goodness, keep fighting. I pulled over to the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked the gentleman to turn on the compressor, but the compressor wouldn't fill the tire.
Mm.
I was keep fighting. So I was looking around the tire, and I could hear air escaping, but I couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, keep fighting. And then I went inside, and the gentleman said, hey, well, if, you know, ask the guy, do you guys sell a tar sealant, you know, chemical? And he said, no. Another customer said, but if you drive down 3-4 miles into Riverdale, you know, the Dollar General may have it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep fighting. So in the whole time, I was thinking, why? Why are all these challenges coming before me? I mean, they're inconvenient to say the least. I'm 96 miles from home. It's in the middle of the night, or it's not in the middle of the night, but it's dark, right? Anyway, just thinking, why? I was like, keep fighting. So I was able to, you know, get everything squared away, got on the road, and I was just keep fighting. Keep fighting. There were some things I was supposed to do last night that I forgot to do in the shower this morning. I was like, Thomas, what is wrong with you? Why did, but I said, keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot that all of us are faced with.
Mm-hmm.
Even the person who's the most organized, you know, the one who's got everything lined up, you know, they have plans, they have fail safes in that plan. Time to time, you know, even with the best of plans, you fall You fail, you come short of the mark.
Right.
But you got to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
The message I want to talk about this morning is to keep fighting, but also just a remembrance of what you're fighting for.
Mm.
Right? It's one thing to keep fighting, but you know, at some point you may ask yourself, well, what am I fighting for?
Right.
Why am I putting myself through this torment, this anguish? What is the objective?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter, again, starting at verse 10, Paul wrote these words to the church at Ephesus. He said, finally, my brethren,
mm-hmm.
be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Mm.
Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
You know, the idea, well, not the idea, but the fact that Paul is trying to share with all of us as brethren is that the devil is a wily creature.
Mm-hmm.
His objective is not to save himself. I just want to put that out there. The devil is not out to get you. You know, as we'll read in another scripture, you know, it says, you know, where the Bible tells us to be mindful, beware, because what? Satan as a roaring lion, mm-hmm. seeking whom he may devour.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Satan's objective is not to save himself. He's already lost. His fate is already sure.
Mm-hmm.
He will find himself in the lake of fire and brimstone. The same lake and fire and brimstone that we read of in Revelations, the 20th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it says that hell will be emptied over into this lake of fire and brimstone, along with Satan and his angels.
Right.
So what is his objective? His objective is not to save himself. He has nothing to lose because he's already lost it.
Amen.
It says again in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
For we mm-hmm. wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, mm-hmm. against powers,
mm-hmm.
against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get back to this, the question of why. What's my objective? Why must I fight every day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the scripture here in verse number 13 tells me is that the reason why I need to fight every day is that the days are evil.
Mm.
The reason why I need to fight every day is because my soul is at risk every day.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In verse number 14, it says, stand therefore, you know, stand up. Stand strong. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the darts of the wicked are on fire. But your shield of faith can put out that fire and render those darts ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
In verse number 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, the message that you read here that Paul is trying to highlight to the church at Ephesus is continue to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give space to the devil to do what he does. You know, this armor that Paul is talking about covers you from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to cover even the sensitive parts, even your loins, mm-hmm. you know, your abdomen, you know, all those parts that don't have a rib cage naturally protected. He says to cover those parts, to clothe them or gird them about with truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to fight. You know, in my line of work, one of the things that we're talking about is why is it that people do what they do? You know, I fancy myself, you know, a safety professional. More and more I'm getting to learn that safety isn't necessarily about, you know, making, you know, the plant safer, putting padding on the walls or making it so that people can't ever have an accident. It's more of an idea of how we go about developing a system that influences people to make the right choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because inherently, people find themselves in a number of different situations that would place them at a disadvantage to make the wrong decision. First John tells me that what is in the world? Well, we know what's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, there's a famous saying that goes, to err is human.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To err is human, to forgive is divine, I believe is how that phrase goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the implication there is that we can't help ourselves. We will make mistakes. But it takes someone who is next to God to forgive that person of their mistakes. Now, there is some biblical principle there. We can go back and look at the model prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. What was it in Matthew? I believe it's the 5th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says part of this model prayer. Matthew the 6th chapter, my apologies. In verse number 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, you go back and you look at the book of Genesis. It wasn't that, you know, Adam and Eve were evil to begin with, right? It was that Adam and Eve had some weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just that they had weaknesses, it was that Satan emphasized mm-hmm. those weaknesses by pointing Eve's gaze over to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
One may say, well, why would God put something in the garden that looked that good? You know, that was good enough to eat, that had so much power in it, and at the same token tell Adam and Eve that they couldn't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why didn't he build a garden around it? And I'm going to the idea of safety here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he put a guard around it? Why didn't he shield it? Why didn't he, you know, put up accident prevention signs? Danger, right? Do not eat because thou wilt surely die. Why didn't he do any of those things? Why did he put Adam and Eve in the same space with this thing that they were forbidden to eat of?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea here is that we have to influence, or rather, the influence that these principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness of this world, that we have to be able to overcome them.
Amen.
Satan, the most subtle of God's creatures, came to Eve and said, hey, have you, why aren't you eating of this tree?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't God say you could eat of all the fruit in his garden? And Eve said, yeah, nay, but this tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't eat of it because in that day that I eat thereof, God says that I'll surely die.
Amen.
And Satan told him, no, you won't surely die. And the only reason why he doesn't want you to eat of it is because he doesn't want you to be as he is.
Mm.
You know what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, if you have your Bibles, it says, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse number 15. It says, seeing then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise,
mm-hmm.
redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And what is so evil about the days? It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Again, what is so evil about the day? Well, each and every day, you are bombarded with the temptations that Satan puts in your path.
Right.
You know, the book tells us that God cannot and does not tempt any man.
No.
But a man is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own lust.
Amen.
Satan brought to the forefront of Eve's mind her own lust.
Hmm.
He enticed
her.
And that's what's so evil about the day, is that you are enticed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to do those things that are contrary to the will of God.
Right.
So you got to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep fighting. Satan wants you, and we talked about this on Wednesday, Satan wants you to be overcome with doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wants you to be overcome with doubt. He wants you to be pierced through with this doubt. He wants to get you to believe that God really won't do what he says he will. He's not somebody who's trustworthy. He's not somebody who you can rely upon. Which is the reason why when I found myself in all of these various challenges that I told myself, keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans, the 8th chapter for a few moments. Romans, the 8th chapter. Again, we've read this verse before. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, why is this statement something that we need to hold on to? Or rather, why is this a statement that Satan tries very hard for us to not, he tries very hard for us to doubt? Right? He says, and this is Satan, not the capital H-E, Satan is trying to tell us, you know what? The moment that you're going through right now will not result in anything good. So don't do what God would call you to do. Don't love him, but forsake him. That is Satan's ultimate objective for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
His objective is not to save himself. His objective is to get as many of God's children to forsake him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Satan himself forsook his God?
Mm.
You can go back and read in 3 John what Satan did.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 3 John or is it Jude? Give me a second here. I didn't mark it. It is Jude.
Mm-hmm.
Says that they kept not their first estate.
Mm-hmm.
They left their own habitation.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It says that they are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of the great day.
Mm-hmm.
That is Satan's objective, is to get you to forsake your Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not asking you to say it out loud. There's things that you can do that are a manifestation of forsaking you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to James, the fifth chapter. In James, the fifth chapter, starting at verse number 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh."
Mm-hmm.
So there's a number of ways that we can forsake God. And a manifestation of moving away from God or rejecting God or not abiding by the will of God is to lose your patience. You know what happens when you lose your patience?
Mm-hmm.
You start to make rash decisions. Right? You get angry. Right? You lash out. You've lost your patience before. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody keeps poking and prodding at you. You've had a rough day. You know, your patience is really low, and somebody, maybe your loved one, says something to you cross, and what do? That patience evaporates, and what do to that person? What do you do to that person? What is the objective of what you do to that person? You try with the best of your ability to make them feel as bad as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it for a second. Those moments where you've lost your patience.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been struggling, you've been hurt, you're tired, you're stressed out, you're anxious, right? And you know, you've been fighting, and you just give in to those bad times.
Mm-hmm.
And the first person that comes into the frame gets every ounce of your anger, your frustration, and your wrath.
Amen.
And what is your objective at that point? You're already in a bad state, right? Your objective is not to save yourself. Your objective is to take as many people down with you as you can.
Mm.
And that's exactly what Satan, our adversary, is trying to do. He's trying to take as many souls to the lake of fire and brimstone with him as he possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say here in James, the fifth chapter, it says in verse number 9, "Grudge not one against another." Well, you know, don't grumble. You know, don't quarrel one against another. "Brethren, lest ye be condemned, behold, the judge standeth before the door."
Mm-hmm.
"Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience."
Wow.
Look at the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the prophets. Brother People did a fantastic job of highlighting three or four prophets. We talked about Moses, did we not? We mm-hmm. talked about Abraham and Sarah, mm-hmm. did we not? We talked about Isaac and Jacob. We talked about all, you know, we didn't talk about all of them. We talked about a number of major prophets, what? Mm-hmm. Who have suffered affliction and had patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture tells us that all who live righteously will what? Suffer persecution. But we read here in James, the fifth chapter, that the objective is we got to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be patient. Mm-hmm. We have to continue to push forward. It goes on to say in verse number 11, behold, we count them happy which endure.
Mm-hmm.
Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that.
Amen.
You know, when Job was going through it,
mm-hmm.
he could have gave up.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the closest person to him, his lovely wife, told him to give up, curse God, and die. What did Job continue to do? Every day, he kept fighting. He lost everything. He kept fighting. He lost his health. He kept fighting.
Mm.
He didn't have the best of friends, but he kept fighting. He didn't understand what God was doing to him, but he kept fighting. Every single day, the man kept fighting. He woke up in the morning, and he kept fighting. Never one of us in this room have gone through the challenges that Job went through, but what did he do? He suffered affliction with patience,
mm-hmm.
and he kept fighting. And you know what James tells us? He says that all we need to do is have belief and have faith that our Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Mm-hmm.
In verse number 12, it says, above all things, my brethren, swear not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let me stop you here. How many of us mm-hmm. have been so tired, so frustrated, so anxious, so beaten down, that we curse, or rather we swear? I swear, if another thing happens to me right now,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be it. I can't take it anymore. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I swear to...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, in verse number 12, it says, and above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but to let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Is any among you afflicted?
Mm-hmm.
Let him pray.
Mm-hmm.
Is any merry? Let him sing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Is any among you sick?
Mm-hmm.
Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up.
Mm-hmm.
And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Mm-hmm.
Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed.
Mm-hmm.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep fighting, mm-hmm. brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't allow Satan to take us down.
Mm-mm.
We just can't. We just have to continue every day to just fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of tools at our disposal in which to fight. We have the Word of God.
Amen.
Now it says, above all, take this what? The shield of faith,
mm-hmm.
and the Word of God. You know, the shield will guard us from the fiery darts of the devil. This word of God is lethal. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. It is the word of God that we can, you know, deliver a death blow. To what? These powers, these principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. If you have your Bibles, let's go to our scripture reading, which was, what, Romans, the 13th chapter? It says, Romans, the 13th chapter, verse number 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believe, which is a statement of fact. You're closer to the salvation than you are when... You're closer to your salvation now than you were when you were baptized. You've gotten older. You've gotten closer to the end of your race. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. You know, what is this armor of light? You just got the reading, you know, about the whole armor in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. But what is the thing that activates this armor? The thing that activates this armor of light is God. But guess what God is? God is love. You know, every day, you know, you may ask, well, what does it mean to fight? Well, we know the objective, right? We know the objective is we have to fight because the days are evil. You know, Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know it is at stake. I am fighting for my soul, right? And with this fight, I know the tools that I have available to me. Right, I have the word of God, I have the shield of faith, I have the girdle of truth, I've got the breastplate of righteousness, I have the helmet of salvation. I know all of these pieces of the armor, right? I know how to put them on, but how do I wield them? How do I use them? Well, the scripture tells us that we are to what? We are to abide by the will of God. Well, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is defined or outlined in the commandments. And his commandments are what? His will is for us to do what? His will for each and every one of us is to love. You know, I'm putting together a slide presentation, and I'm trying to highlight to the employees at my job how all of our individual, you know, goals and aspirations line up with the company's goals and aspirations. You know, the secret sauce to that is kind of what we've talked about before. You know, if my needs and desires line up with God's needs and desires, it's a perfect fit. There's harmony. Now, I you know, this is going to be somewhat of an experiment, is if I can line up all of the employees, their needs and desires, with the needs and the desires of the company, I'm hoping there's going to be harmony there too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I outlined all of the needs and the desires of the employees, and I distilled it down to one thing. Why do you work? Mm-hmm. Well, you work because you need to eat, you need a place to stay,
mm-hmm.
and you want to be able to enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You work for benefits, so that if you get sick, you can go to the doctor and they can take care of you. You know, I work, you know, if you've got a family, right, you're thinking, well, I work because I'm taking care of all these people. At the end of the day, you distill it down. The reason why you work is because you understand that in order to love and to be loved, you got to have the resources to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have the money, honey,
mm-hmm.
as they say.
Mm-hmm.
How many people who are broke, and how many people on the street
mm-hmm.
who don't have anything have dogs or cats? Have you seen, you know, the homeless?
Mm-hmm. They have dogs.
With dogs mm-hmm. and cats?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why? It's because they love, and they want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
That's what every human being wants.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to love something. Mm-hmm. When you look at when your child was born into this world and you looked at that baby in its face, you know, that connection was deep.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was for me. When I looked at all three of mine, I was like, I love you, and I hope to God to be a good enough father that you will love me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, my kids may or may not be on this call right now, and if they're not, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but let's just say, for example, how do you feel when somebody you love tells you that they love you back? That's a connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you will do anything in your power to love and to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
What does Satan try to get you to do? Satan tries to confuse you.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to misdirect.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to, as you know, place doubt mm-hmm. in your mind, and thinking that the only way for you to be loved and to give love is through the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. Why does the scripture say that the love of money is the root of all evil? Right? Is when you place your love into money, right, you want that money to love you back.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you love it and you want to be loved in return. But guess what? Money can't love you back.
Mm-mm.
Power can't love you back. You know, all the things that money can purchase just won't love you back. And so you always have this hole in your heart, literally, maybe not literally, but figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're putting all of your investments into this money, but it doesn't return that same love back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you angry. It makes you impatient.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Amen.
So what is the will of God? The will of God is that we love Him first and we love others second.
Mm-hmm.
Does God love us back? Yeah, He does. John 3:16, God has already shown us His love. Do others love us back? Well, they should.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do our, you know, when the commandment tells us that we are to love others as well as our enemies, if we show love for our enemies, what are we doing? It says that when you show love for your enemies, you are heaping coals of fire upon their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the the last part of this verse here, and I'm going to conclude, in Romans, the 13th chapter, it says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, mm-hmm. not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You got to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep fighting with the tools that God has given us through His Word. We have to continue to lean in on the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul told us, right, that there is a war between the flesh and the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to win out? Well, the choice is yours. You have to continue to fight. Don't give in to the flesh. Do not give provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Wow.
Keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day. You know, all it takes... Right, all Satan needs is a space and an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to make sure that the armor is steadfast, it's sure, it's on right, it's activated with the love of God. I mean, it's fortified through step.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're here this morning and you're a little weak, maybe you've gotten to a point today where you're just not able to fight. You don't have the energy to fight like you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God is good. God is merciful, and He's a gracious God. He knows exactly what you need because you're His child, right? He knows that there are moments where you're going to have weakness, and He knows that there are moments where you're going to be strong. Christ said, my grace is sufficient, for in your weakness, who is strong? The Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you're here this morning and you find yourself weak and unable to continue to fight, well, again, all glory be to God that He has given you an opportunity this morning to be here in this worship, to make a request known to Him. You know, as we just got the reading, if you're sick, pray.
Mm-hmm.
If you're afflicted, pray. If there's something you need, seek out those who are righteous. Because we know that the fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we will be singing the song of invitation, immediately afterwards, the floor will be open to those who need a prayer request. If you are not a child of God, just understand that God has a plan. You have to hear the oneness of the Lord, oneness of faith, the oneness of hope, the oneness of baptism, the oneness of the body. You need to hear and believe that Christ is the head of that body. He purchased this church, this body, with His blood.
Amen.
God put salvation in this one church, this one body. One needs to believe the things, those basic principles of the oracles of God. One must confess with the mouth. One must repent first. Mm-hmm. And that repentance will lead to a confession of the mouth. And one must be baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins, in order to obtain the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then continue to fight every day. Live faithfully until death in order to obtain a crown of life. So the message is yours. If the urgent need to do so, please come forward. Stand and say,